Let's begin with the foundations. Welcome to another lecture. I am Alexei, a professor who spends far too much of his week thinking about how we know what we think we know. Today, we will examine the deceptively simple method known as the five whys.
Hi, I'm Priyanka. I work with Alexei as his teaching assistant, and I ask the obvious questions so he does not have to.
To frame our discussion, it's important to understand what five whys is in plain language. Think of it as an iterative technique where we look at a problem and keep asking why. We take the answer to each why and ask why again. The aim is to move from a visible symptom to the underlying process condition that allowed the symptom to occur. Not a brainstorming free-for-all, but a disciplined walk through cause and effect, grounded in facts we can observe in the actual place where the work happens. More technically, five whys is a method to trace a causal thread by chaining each new question directly to the prior answer, corroborating each link with evidence such as data, standard work, or observations at the Gemba. We stop not at a magic number, but when we reach an actionable, verifiable cause that remains demonstrably connected to the original effect. Ideally, a missing or weak control, standard, or process we can strengthen so the problem does not recur.
So, basically, it is about not stopping with the first explanation that feels comfortable, but going one level deeper, and then again.
Exactly. And the small but crucial point, the number five is a rule of thumb, it is not a theorem. We sometimes need fewer steps, and in complex systems we often need more. Mathematicians, you see, are suspicious of round integers offered as universal constants. Moving forward, why does this matter? In quality management and operations, our central objective is to prevent recurrence, not merely to patch the symptom. Five whys trains teams to continue beyond the immediate fix, replacing a broken part, for instance, until they uncover the process gaps such as missing inspections, ambiguous responsibilities, or inadequate maintenance schedules. Used well, the method elevates everyday incidents into structured learning.
And the catch is when people stop at the fifth why just because it is the fifth, or when a single linear chain hides other contributing causes. That is where it can go wrong, right?
Clearly. The danger is arbitrary stopping and oversimplification. Complex failures seldom yield to a single neat narrative. Verification, not counting, should dictate when we are done. Let's start with the history. The modern technique developed at Toyota, attributed in its form to Sakichi Toyota and championed by Taichi Ono, who called it the basis of Toyota's scientific approach. Within the Toyota production system, it became part of problem-solving training. Newcomers were taught to look directly at the work, ask why iteratively, and connect defects to controllable causes. From there, it spread into Kaizen practices, lean manufacturing, lean construction, and Six Sigma as an accessible entry point.
There is also that older echo in literature. The chain behind the proverb, for want of a nail. It is interesting that a five-link causal idea shows up in the 1200s.
Indeed. Freidank's Bescheidenheit traces how a small omission cascades to large consequences. When read in reverse, it resembles the logic of working backward from an effect to possible causes. Centuries later, Toyota systematized a similar serial reasoning for factory floors. An elegant continuity between poetry and production. As for a personal note, in our research group, we have used five whys to debug analytic pipelines. For instance, a result deviated from expectation. Why? Because a transformation silently truncated values. Why? Because the schema changed without validation. Why? Because deployment skipped a check. Why? Because our standard for changes lacked an explicit data contract. The fix was not merely patching code, but instituting a review step. And so the cascade ended at a missing process, as it often does. This brings us to three larger questions that will guide our deep dive today. First, how did a technique initially used to justify features transform into a tool for defect investigation? Second, what if Toyota had paired 5Ys with branching analysis from the start? Third, why is the method still disputed today as a sufficient root cause tool? And what might integration with other methods look like?
Professor Alexi, may I ask the first one directly? How did the 5Ys transform from feature justification to defect investigation?
To elaborate, the early use at Toyota included explaining why a new jig, feature, or technique was needed. One might ask, why do we require this modification? And keep asking why until the need was anchored in production reality. As the broader culture matured, the same iterative structure proved extraordinarily handy when a defect appeared. Frontline teams already knew the ritual of asking why and validating at the worksite, so they repurposed it from ex-ante justification to ex-post investigation. Because it was simple, portable, and fast, it became the default triage tool before more formal analyses could be mobilized.
What did that shift change in day-to-day problem solving?
In simpler terms, it democratized causal thinking. Operators could move beyond swapping a broken bolt to asking why it broke and why it could break again. In the classic cross-threading example, the exploration continues upstream to discover, say, unstable shelving that let parts wobble, and a maintenance schedule that failed to catch it. The upside was speed and empowerment. The downside was a tendency to stop too soon or freeze on a single narrative. Hence, the later move in many organizations to pair the practice with structured tools and verification steps.
So yeah, moving on to the counterfactual. Professor, what if Toyota had originally paired 5Ys with fishbone diagrams for every problem?
Theoretically, mandatory branching would have constrained the single cause bias. A fishbone invites multiple causal categories in parallel: methods, machines, materials, people, environment, and encourages several Y chains to grow concurrently. If that had been standard from the start, we would likely have seen stronger repeatability, clearer documentation of evidence alongside each branch, and layered countermeasures that address interacting factors, rather than only one apparent culprit. We can infer additional systemic effects. Training would have normalized not just depth, but breadth of inquiry. Audits could trace decisions more readily. And over time, the community might have evolved shared stopping criteria based on verifiability rather than the mystique of five. The trade-off, of course, is overhead. Some small problems benefit from the lightness of a quick chain. But even a lightweight tabular record, why, answer, and evidence, would have been a valuable baseline.
And what would that have meant for industry practices outside Toyota? Faster spread of more rigorous habits? Or would it have slowed the Kaizen culture?
Arguably both. A more rigorous package might have improved cross-industry consistency. Safety-critical domains would have adopted it with fewer reservations. And knowledge transfer would be cleaner because artifacts are comparable. Yet some teams might have found the formality a barrier for small issues. In practice, I suspect we would have seen a tiered model earlier. Quick, documented triage at the front line. Automatic escalation with branching analysis for anything recurring or high risk.
Building on that, the third question. Professor Alexi, why is 5Ys still disputed as a sufficient root cause tool today?
It is worth noting the core critiques. First, arbitrary stopping depth. 5 is a convenience, not evidence. Second, poor repeatability. Different investigators often produce different chains because answers mirror what they already know. Third, the linear bias toward a single story when many problems have multiple interacting causes. Fourth, a tendency to halt at symptoms. Within Toyota itself, Teruyuki Minora judged five whys too basic for deep root cause work. In healthcare, Alan J. Card went further, recommending abandoning it for root cause analysis in favor of more structured tools such as fishbone or love bug diagrams. The message is not that questioning is useless, rather that questioning without methodological safeguards can mislead.
So how do we integrate it responsibly with other tools? Is there a simple way for teams to start better tomorrow?
In this context, a practical pattern looks like this. Begin with a crisp problem statement tied to observable effects. Use a quick five whys pass to generate hypotheses, but log each why answer pair in a small table with the specific evidence. Immediately branch with a fishbone to surface parallel causes. Do not force a single chain. For non-trivial issues, pull in a more formal causal mapping, such as why-because analysis or an eight disciplines workflow. And crucially, test countermeasures explicitly. The causal claim is only as good as the prevention it enables. As for open research, we still need stronger guidance on verification standards and inter-rater reliability. For example, what constitutes sufficient evidence at each Y step? How do we design lightweight branching that preserves speed? How do digital tools capture Gemba observations in a way that promotes repeatable conclusions? These are tractable questions. We can, if you will, engineer the rigor we wish five whys had from birth.
So I guess that kind of sums it up. Ask why, ground it in evidence, allow branching, and verify that the fix would actually break the chain next time.
To summarize, five whys is an iterative questioning discipline that links an observed problem to an actionable, verifiable cause by repeatedly asking why and anchoring each answer in the real work. We traced its journey from feature justification to defect investigation. We considered how mandatory branching might have changed its evolution, and we examined present-day disputes that press us towards structured, evidence-based practice. For further study, explore the fishbone or Ishikawa diagram. It complements five whys by widening the aperture. This then completes our present analysis. Thank you for listening and good luck with your work this week.
Thank you and all the best with your studies. See you next time.